Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is Sports Sunday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. Another steamy hot day in the metro area, which it's July, and that's just the way it's going to be. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and our guest right now is our friend Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com, who does a great job covering college sports. Dennis, I think the last time I saw you was probably the Big 12 tournament in Sprint Center, I think?
I think that's right, yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while. Yep.
So I haven't talked, and let me lead with this before I get into the football. I have not talked to you since the Stanley Cup final wrapped up. Oh. And I know, being a St. Louis guy, you're a huge Blues fan, and you tweet about it all the time. And we don't have an NHL team here in Kansas City, so my kids have kind of adopted the Blues. They have Tarasenko jerseys and all that.
Oh, wow.
But what, just for you as a fan, having to wait so long to see it, what's it been like for you since the final? Are you still kind of living on that NHL hockey high a little bit?
It still hasn't hit me yet. And I talk to a lot of Blues fans, like, they don't know how to react. I mean, obviously, happy on cloud nine, but it's like, you're still in disbelief. Like, this actually happened. You know, all these TV shows. I have the NHL Network on right now just because they you know, a lot of stuff on this. I just leave it on in the house. 49 years since my first game. I was hooked in October of 1968. And just to wait that long, and really, I told a lot of people, the last year questioned whether I'd be alive, you know, when they finally won it, and they did. When it came, I was in a hotel room in Orlando, believe it or not, working, and I by myself, and I think I taped the last 30 seconds on my phone. I listened to the post game, and listen to Camo X in St. Louis a little bit, and then I went to bed, and I went, you know, it's almost like, is that all there is? You know, this is what it feels like, you know, it really happened. So now we moved, built a new house, and I'm in the business of ordering, you know, these newspaper front pages that can be framed and all that stuff,
right,
and buying a hat. So, yeah, it's pretty special.
Well, I'll just share one more thing with you. I've seen the videos going around of the players taking the Stanley Cup to, you know, back to their hometown. One guy brought it to a backyard barbecue next to a lake, and comes around the corner, and everybody's standing up cheering. I thought it was great. And then there was a video last night. It was with the goalkeeper, and I apologize, I don't remember his name.
Jordan Bennington. Yeah.
Jordan Bennington. So this little kid had written him a birthday card. And so the little kid was standing there with his mom, and she goes, "Do you remember when you wrote Jordan Bennington this birthday card?" And he goes, "Yeah, I remember it." And he said, and it was kind of like, "Did you not mail it?" That kind of thing. And she goes, "No, I have it, but I want you to give it to him face to face." And he's like, "What?" Mm-hmm. And so he goes around the corner, and there's Jordan Bennington with the Stanley Cup. And this kid hands him the birthday card, and he goes, "Do you want me to read it?" And he said, "Yeah." And he goes, "I'm so proud of you and the Blues, last place in January to Stanley Cup champions, and you're my favorite player because you were the fourth-string goalkeeper, and then you were the starter that won the Stanley Cup." And so this kid got a great experience he'll never, ever forget.
I
thought it was awesome.
I did not see that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's on the Blues Twitter account. It's probably, if not, it's around somewhere. All right, so the business at hand, Dennis Dodd, college football. We're, 40-something days away from getting the season started, and you guys at CBSSports.com churn out a ton of content. So let me start with the hot seat rankings, because that's just one of those things you get into before the season. Like, is my coach on the hot seat? Is my coach going to be here for the long term? I don't know. And so I like how you divide up the numbers that you put to this. So if you give a coach a 5, that's win or be fired. If you give a coach a 4, that's you need to start improving now. If you give a coach a 3, the pressure is mounting. If you give a coach a 2, it's all good, ... for now. If you give a coach a 1, it's safe and secure. If you give a coach a 0, that means untouchable. And the untouchables, you know, Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney and the coach at Stanford, I believe, has a 0. David Shaw has a 0. So let me kind of get into the coaches on the hot seat, and we'll also include the Big 12 and some SEC. But number one on the hot seat list is Lovie Smith at Illinois, and that's a pure 5, win or get fired. And Dennis, when they made the hire, I scratched my head because he'd been out of the college game for a long, long time. And I realized Illinois was kind of looking for a splash, but to me, it never seemed like a good fit.
Well, it didn't. It was out of the box by their new AD, Josh Whitman, who I think is now 40 years old. He is 40 years old, who wanted to make a splash hire. I have him, like you said, as a 5 win or else, but he's 9-27. In 3 years, he's gotten a contract extension. This is really, he's tied to the hip with the AD. It's almost as if the AD is going to go down if Lovie Smith goes down. So when I say it's a 5, you know, I really think he could survive a 2-10 just because this AD in his first major Power 5 job is bound and determined to make this work. It doesn't look like it's going to work. Like you said, Lovie has scarce college experience. Yes, he's been to a Super Bowl, but he was a 500 coach in the NFL. Illinois, even though it's in the middle of Big Ten country, is really a hard place to recruit to, even though it's a state school. Not saying you can't win. I covered them when they had Jeff George and John Makovic was the coach.
Wow, that's going back.
Yeah, and they were doing okay. John Makovic was doing okay back then. But when you look at the East Division alone, with Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State, and the West is a fascinating division this year in the Big Ten in that about 5 of the 7 teams, you wouldn't blink if any one of them won it, and it is wide open. I think only, I guess I'd say, you know, Minnesota or Illinois, or I think even Purdue is in there, but maybe Minnesota and Illinois you count out. But, it's a long road to hoe, and I think the hesitancy there with Illinois is, okay, if we blow this guy up now, then we're just starting over no matter who we get. So, as I said, it's a hard place to win right now.
We're speaking with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. College football coaches on the hot seat right now. A place that should not be hard to recruit to is USC, but you have Clay Helton as a 4, mm-hmm. which is not a good spot. That's start improving now. I cannot believe this. You wrote that he's been there 10 years. That seems a little unbelievable. But as you note, when you have famous alumni like Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart publicly lobbying to get Urban Meyer to Southern California, that's not a good thing.
Well, and that is one of the more, I don't even know what the word is, unique fan bases in the country. You know, here's a guy in his first 2 years as a head coach, won the Rose Bowl and won the Pac-12, and then goes 5-7, and, you know, they're falling off the edge of the earth. They hadn't been to they broke a long bowl streak. I think it was only their 13th losing season in the last 85 or 86 years. You've got, it starts at the top. I think Clay Helton's a hell of a coach, by the way. But their AD, Lynn Swann, isn't, in my opinion, qualified to be an AD. I looked at his resume. We all know who Lynn Swann is, quote-unquote.
Right.
His career has been based, aside from catching passes for the Steelers, based on celebrity, to the point that I think it was in early May or June when the entire university was falling apart in the wake of that academic admission scandal. He was in Baltimore signing autographs and doing a card show. And he wrote a letter in late November, either right after they lost to Notre Dame at the end of the season, where he said he's bringing Clay Helton back, but in the last paragraph disparaged the program, saying we're deficient in recruiting, personnel, coaching. You know, it's like, what are you doing here? So I don't know what's worse, keeping Clay Helton, you know, or letting Lynn Swann be in charge of the next coaching search, because I think it would be an absolute disaster. So the Clay Helton, the coach, is fine. I don't know if USC as a program And the university, frankly, has been at a lower point. I can't remember a time when it's been that way.
Now, and the cheating scandal, just kind of put it all out there, kickbacks for coaches and people in the assistant AD, she was taking money, and it was just – it exposed another seedy underbelly that maybe we hadn't talked about before, but it's out in the open now, and you can bet other schools are going through their records to see if things are happening. We're speaking with Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com. College football coaches on the hot seat. One more big school name that I'll throw out, Willie Taggart at Florida State. And Dennis, look, when I was growing up and when you probably started covering college football, Florida State was it. With Bobby Bowden, I mean, they dominated everything. And, you know, Deion Sanders and all the superstars and on and on and on. And they just, they're not what they used to be. And I don't know if they were ever going to get back there. But, you know, Jimbo Fisher had some okay things going on, but he clashed with the administration over facilities and funding and that sort of thing. But Willie Taggart, who hasn't been there that long, is on a 4 right now, which on the ranking system for you guys says start improving now. And for Florida State fans, they need that.
Yeah, I think Florida State's in a lot of trouble, even if Florida State fans don't want to admit it. I don't know how good a coach Willie Taggart is. He won 10 at Western Kentucky. He pulled the ripcord on Oregon after a couple of years, and he goes to Florida State, which, look, had problems, but that ended what last year, a 36-year, I think, bowl streak for them. Mm-hmm. And if the assumption is Willie Taggart's going to get it back in place, I don't know if that's right. The AD has said all the right things. You know, we're behind him. We're left with an empty cover. In fact, there was a big story in Bleacher Report about Jimbo, this being the fault of Jimbo Fisher because of the way he left the program. You know, sooner or later, you know, you've got to take ownership of it. And that offensive line last year, I don't know if I've ever seen a more disorganized group at the Power 5 level. Now, they certainly had injuries. They were thin to begin with, but there wasn't any extraordinary coaching I saw there to get them to the point they needed. So, and you know, to the point that, boy, it wasn't very many years ago that Clemson and Florida State were the class of the ACC every year. And now it's not that way. You don't even consider Florida State. Clemson rules the world. So he's got a lot of work to do, and we'll see.
Speaking with Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, hot seat ranking for rankings for college football coaches. Getting into the Big 12, Matt Rhule at Baylor has done a nice job of rebuilding that program. He's in a good spot with a 2 ranking, which means all good for now, but we know things at Baylor happen because they have happened many times. Matt Campbell at Iowa State ranks as a 1, which means safe and secure. And for Matt Campbell, I'll just throw this in. We mentioned Lovie Smith being on the hot seat at Illinois. I'm happy for Nathan Shielhouse, former Rockhurst High School star, Simone Award winner, Kansas City kid. He was on the staff at Illinois, and then he left to join Matt Campbell at Iowa State, and he's in a great position because Matt Campbell's got a great staff. For him, it's just a matter of when does somebody come and get him, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. And Jamie Pollard has done a great job in, you know, keeping him there to this point. You know, his name was bandied around for Ohio State. It came up in NFL circles. I mean, I think a lot of people forget that Iowa State was playing for first place in the Big 12 in early November last year and ended up winning 8 games in the regular season, I think 9 overall. So he is a very good coach. I don't know if they can keep him there for long because it's going to be tough there to sustain that. But he's one of the better coaches in the Big 12.
And Les Miles and Chris Klieman also on the list. They're in good spots with 1s and 2s by their name, which means, you know, you're not going to do anything after year 1. The only thing, I guess the storyline that the media sets, and I fall into it too, is these two, Klieman and Les Miles, are going to be compared head-to-head for the next – for however long they're at their respective schools.
Yeah, I mean, they both, in the place of Chris Klieman, replaces a legend. So, and he's coaching against somewhat of a legend in Les Miles. I think the pressure will be internal with Kansas State. Obviously, it will be at Kansas, but I think there's a little bit more of a honeymoon at Kansas at Les Miles, who has a track record, and as does Chris Klieman in FCS. But has done all the right things there. You know, I walked up to a Kansas game during the season, a random Kansas game that I was covering, and got there really early for some reason. And here's Les playing Flip Cup with the students on the floor of Allen Field. You know,
yeah.
And you've seen his tweets.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, hey, come to Westco Beach, and I've got some prizes for you. Come on out. He's been really pleasant. You know, singing with rappers at the spring game, and he's done everything right. I've said it before. You know, people have criticized his hire. Who would you trust more if the standard is a bowl game? And let's face it, that's all in the chances right now. 6-6. I put my hopes in this guy. I think he can do it.
Not this year. Right.
But I think he can do it, yeah.
Yeah, and I think KU and K-State are both doing a great job rolling out their coaches, being very interactive on social media, inviting students out to practices.
Yep.
And it's a breath of fresh air for both programs to be able to get some more insight. So it'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting over the next several years to see how they match up head-to-head. Mizzou with Barry Odom, and look, he's got a 2 and a 3 by his name, which means he's in a decent spot. Dennis, I don't know how you judge on this season, since as it stands now, they're banned from the postseason, no bowl games, and maybe they'll win their appeal. I don't know, but for Barry Odom, it's an odd position to be in for this year.
Yeah, I don't know if it's odd. I think he's actually loosened up and more comfortable in his own skin. You know, they won more games last year than they have since 2014, since he arrived. They were 8-4 in the regular season. Should have been 10-2. I think they all blew the Kentucky game, and there's no question about that. So, will that come in the future? I don't know, but I think they're in a good spot this year. They have a difference making quarterback. They have some skill players that can make a difference. I think, at least from what I saw, and I was at the Georgia game last year. They gave Georgia a pretty good tough, but lost by 15 points, I think. Got a matchup in both lines, that's my favorite in the SEC. But I do think Barry Odom is more secure in his own skin now. And with Kelly Bryant as a trigger man, I think this team can win 9 games. If you look at their schedule, they should be, I don't have it in front of me, they should be 6-0, maybe going to Kentucky or something like that. I think a lot of people expect that. So I think they'll be at least in the top 25 for a portion of the season.
Speaking with Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, one final coaching thing for you. A couple of more coaches in the Big 12. Lincoln Riley, obviously, untouchable. Mm-hmm. We know what he's done. Mike Gundy I find interesting, though, because he's safe and secure. And to me, Oklahoma State, and you tell me if I'm wrong, Dennis, to me, Oklahoma State reminds me a little bit of Iowa, just because I'm a fan of Iowa. People want to run Kirk Ferentz out all the time. He only wins this many games. He's not going to get us to a national championship. Iowa knows what they are, though. They'll compete for an occasional Big Ten championship. They'll get to a couple of decent bowl games and a couple of average bowl games. They'll win their 8-9 and the odd 10-win games in a season, and that's fine. To me, Oklahoma State's a little bit like that, because you consider all the money they have from T. Boone Pickens and the stadium and all that stuff. You would think, if we're not winning 11, 12 games and competing for championships every year, this is no good. But Oklahoma State kind of knows who they are, and they know who Mike Gundy is, and it's just I think they're just fine with it.
Yeah, I think they're fine with it. The only opponents, quote unquote, that he has there is, you know, T. Boone Pickens. So it's like a married couple. They snipe at each other every now and then. But I think T. Boone Pickens and the AD Mike Holder, he goes at it with him as well. But they know who's your fallback if you get rid of Mike Gundy. You know, he's won what I think 9 or 10, 6 of the last 8 years.
Right.
Annually, has the team ranked. Every few years they're going to contend for a Big 12 title. They recruit well, recruit Texas as well as anybody in the top 5, I'd say, of schools outside of Texas and recruit Texas. They do a great job recruiting. They put players in the NFL. I've said this before. I think Mike Gundy is so entrenched in that job that if he was fired, I think he would just retire and go to his ranch outside of Stillwater. He's got, I think, 110 acres. Chickens and donkeys and crops and everything else, and his kids love it. He loves it. If they tried to pull a trap door on him, I think he would just leave football instead of go somewhere else and just go ranch.
And he can ride around on his ranch with no shirt on and his mullet.
Yeah.
And he'll be just popping some cold ones and go play some golf, and he'd be fine.
Yeah.
Speaking with Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com. All right, I want to get into this. You have a column that you wrote, how college athletes could profit from their name, image, and likeness, but still appease the NCAA. And I would encourage folks to go to CBSSports.com and read this article, because it is very extensive. And this is something I've been interested in for a long time, you know, going back to the Ed O'Bannon when he first filed his lawsuit over video games. The NCAA just said, okay, we're not making video games anymore. But
Right. You
lead off the story with something that kind of hits you, because I don't like the argument when people say, well, these athletes have a scholarship. That's what they get paid for. They have room and board. They get food. They get free clothes. And no, they don't deserve any money. And here's the story you lead off with. Russell Okung, who was a great football player at Oklahoma State. I can't believe he's been in the NFL 10 years now, for crying out loud. But he related a story called The Hustle, where he would stand outside the student union, and if somebody was buying detergent, he would say, can you buy an extra one for me? Because I don't have any money. He only had $100 in his bank account. His mom lost her job. Any financial aid he got, he sent home because his mom didn't have any money. And I read stories like this, and I'm like, how can we how can the NCAA and its member institutions not find a way to just make it a little bit easier and let these kids make a little money? I'm not expecting some car dealership to pay somebody $100,000, but, you know, make a few bucks here and there off your name, image, and likeness. I think that's only fair if they can figure out how to do it.
Well, to me now, it's less about compensating players and more about these athletes just owning what is their birthright. And that is the rights to your name out of the crib. If the Gerber baby played NCAA football, it couldn't do those commercials.
Right.
Because it was capitalizing on it. But you own that when you come out of the crib. Your name, image, and likeness, whatever that entails. And if you want to get a YouTube channel, or if you want to, start a business, or if you want to do something else, or just do something, and I suggested it in the piece, if the players, if they were allowed to collectively sell the license to the cover of that EA Sports game, hey, we'll let you have the cover, and you can use our name on the players. Wouldn't that be cool, by the way?
Bring absolutely.
Here's the number we want. They can, the NCAA, they can talk to them about how they want it distributed, and you go from there. I don't think anybody would get rich, but I don't think that's the point. There may be some money somewhere for somebody, but I think the first point is they have to give them this birthright that you have out of the crib, that you can do anything you want with your talent. Your scholarship doesn't define you, and NCAA athletes have never been given more. That's true. They have. I talked to a long snapper at LSU who makes, quote unquote, makes $12,000 a year, putting money away for when he graduates with his scholarship check, his cost of attendance, stuff like that. But I think in America we all want to maximize the values in ourselves. So, there was a kid, there was a kicker at UCF, Central Florida, who had his own.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yeah.
Yeah, and who had to quit football. He made the decision to quit football because the NCAA rules say you can't wear something that has UCF on it and start your own channel. And he said, screw it. I'll go make money, what little money I'm making doing this. That is not going to upset the foundational amateurism model if kids are allowed to do that. I think what's sinful is the country's maybe best female swimmer ever, Katie Ledecky,
yep.
I don't know how many gold medals at Stanford, chose to turn pro in swimming. In swimming, how much money is there in swimming? At least you could do, you could do commercials and do promotions and make money from that because of NCAA rules. I think the NCAA would rather have Katie Ledecky swimming at Stanford than her doing commercials so she can support herself in the Olympics. That's shameful.
Absolutely. And there was a believe a kicker years ago at the University of Colorado who was also an Olympic level skier, and
Jeremy Bloom. Yeah,
yeah, Jeremy Bloom, yeah. And they don't get money for all the training they need, so he was going to have to go out and sell endorsements, yeah. Like sponsor me. And the NCAA said, okay, you can either be an Olympic skier and go make your endorsement money, or you can play football. And he's like, I got to go ski. This is what I do.
Right. And his sister was the subject of that movie, Molly Bloom.
Yeah.
That was about poker or something, but no, and he's been an outspoken activist on this too. And there's Russell Okung, who you mentioned. He's now, I think it's significant that the vice president of the NFLPA and a 10-year veteran with a Super Bowl ring thinks this is such a compelling issue that just because he thinks it's the right thing to do, he's weighed in. He testified in the California State House mm-hmm. this week in support of that fair play bill.
Yes.
Which would allow athletes in California to capitalize on their name, image, and likeness. Mark Emmert, the week before that basically threatened the California legislature, if you pass this, these players will be ineligible, to which somebody said, yeah, let's cancel the Rose Bowl. I don't think that's going to happen. And I put in the piece. Anybody who plays in California who profits off their name, image, and likeness, two world wars haven't stopped the Rose Bowl. This isn't going to stop the Rose Bowl.
No, and I thought it was ridiculous for Emmert to – I mean, if you want to communicate that privately, I guess, but you know it's going to come out. And I did appreciate the California legislature, which is a strange place at times. I did like the response from some of their members, where they said, "We're not going to be threatened by the NCAA.
Right.
This is a state issue. You really have no business here, and go ahead and try to ban California schools from participating."
And to the fact that it's not going to start if it's passed, and it looks like it's going until 2023.
Right.
So I think the NCAA would be in a better place going to them and saying, let's talk about this. What's this going to look like? And maybe, I don't know, changing the rules. You know, there is a working group now. It's significant. In May, the NCAA announced a working group to take on this. We call it NIL, to take on this issue. And the mere fact that they developed a working group suggests they're at least thinking about it and that something's going to happen.
Yeah, it's just like very different things, but it's like gambling. It's going to happen, and you're not really going to stop. Let's find the best solution. That's my approach to it. Find the best solution for what works for the student athletes and the member institutions and the NCAA, however it works out. So,
yep.
Hey, Dennis, I appreciate your time. And again, I encourage everybody to go to cbssports.com and read Dennis's story on name, image, and likeness, because it is a deep dive, and Dennis talks to a lot of people about what this could look like. So, Dennis, I appreciate your time so much. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of what's left of the weekend, and congratulations on being a Blues fan and seeing your team finally lift that Stanley Cup.
Let's go Blues. Thanks so much.
All right, Dennis, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right,
we'll take a quick timeout. That was Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dennis Dodd. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bohlig is running the show, and you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest, cranking out 50,000 watts. You can also listen worldwide at getting the app at 810WHB.com. Great guests so far. We had Eric Horn from the Oklahoman on, talking Oklahoma City Thunder and the NBA. A little soccer and a little
Petrels.
Yeah, flaming Petrels.
They're called the Storming Petrels,
but
they lit them on fire
yes.
to direct them to shore.
Yes. We also had Dennis Dodd on. We just wrapped up with CBSSports.com talking college football, coaches on the hot seat, and whether or not student-athletes will eventually be able to make a little extra change off their name, image, and likeness. If you missed any of that, you can get the podcast later on at 810WHB.com. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Soran Petro is going to join us as a guest, which means I will be asking the tough questions. I will be issuing the Final Four. Talk about Soren's big move to the afternoon slot, 2 to 6 p.m. drive time show, which will debut Monday. He and Curtis Siebold and Jed Marshall. But right now, we're going to do a little segment we like to call Bohlig Bites, where Chris Bohlig, by the way, my name is Brad Porter, Chris Bohlig running the show, and Chris picks out the best sound bites of the week. They might be fun, interesting, weird. I don't know. I don't know what they are. It's all a surprise to me. So Chris will play them, and then we'll talk about them. So Chris, take it away.
Yes, Brad. We have some fun stuff today. There's some interesting sound clips from the week. We want to start out, though, with one. Daniel Sturridge was in the news. Someone broke into his house and took a prized possession. Here's what he had to say about that.
Listen, somebody's broke into the house in L.A., took my dog from the house. Listen, whoever knows who broke into my crib, I'll pay you anything. I'm dead serious. I want to know who took my I want to know what's went on. I want to know why they've took my dog. I want to know why they've took bags from upstairs. I want to know what the going on. I'm dead serious. Something's got to change. Like, how can you break into a house in LA and take somebody's dog? Are you crazy? You've come into a house to take a dog. Yo, somebody please find my dog. I'll pay anything. I'm dead serious. I want my dog back, man.
Luckily, his dog was found a few days later, which is crazy. I mean, we've seen this before. A Dallas Cowboy had,
yes.
it was a receiver. I can't remember his name. It might have been, I can't remember. But he had his dog stolen from his house.
Right.
And now Daniel Sturridge had his, I think it was a Pomsky or something like that, stolen from his house. I also like the clip because I like his accent, and I think it's funny. His British accent is really, really fun to listen to. But yeah, craziness! Someone breaking into the house, trying to get some ransom for the Pomsky that that Daniel Sturridge owns.
Daniel Sturridge playing for Liverpool.
Yes, your Liverpool,
my Liverpool team, and he's on the English national soccer team, and has a home in L.A., which is weird because soccer players don't have a lot of time off. That would seem an unwise investment unless he's running it out Airbnb or something like that. There's not a lot of time for him to spend in LA, but
I mean,
come
he got,
if you're gonna break into somebody's house, don't take their dog, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, I think what the burglar, of course, is thinking is, oh, this is people, humans love their pets,
right?
So if I take this
ransom,
it's gonna be worth any way more than anything I actually take.
How did they get
house.
The dog back? Do you know?
I think it was mature or something. I think I can't remember, but I know they said it was the dog did get back.
Okay.
But I did really like the his distraught message to, I think, Instagram.
Sure.
And I thought his English accent was also enjoyable to listen to. So that was Daniel Sturridge. Luckily, his dog is back. Good for him. Hopefully he ramps up his home security in Los Angeles.
I was just reading this on TMZ. He took his dog to lunch after it was returned.
Nice.
Took him out to eat. But the hero who found the dog is pissed for some reason. I don't know.
Maybe he's not getting money for it, for finding the dog?
Probably. It's a rapper named Killa Fame posted photos of the dog on social media after claiming his nephew spotted the dog. And Sturridge got in touch, got the dog back. The problem now, Killa Fame claims he was expecting Sturridge to cut a $30,000 check for the safe return of the dog, but it never happened. He said, "I'm honestly disappointed." Come on, return the dog. You want money?
We don't.
I'll just
come
return.
On. Everybody, you know, I mean.
The last time, you know what? I was out on a walk a few years ago. We were getting ready to leave town on vacation, and this little dog came walking down the street. Apparently lost, and I picked it up and I found his dog tags, and it belonged to a house a couple of blocks over. So I walked over, and this dog was covered in something I'm not going to talk about on the radio, by the way. Went over, rang the doorbell. The lady didn't answer.
Covered with poop?
Yes, it was.
Yes. All right, nice.
So I went to the neighbor's house and I said, "Hey, I found this dog and it belongs to your neighbor." She goes, "Oh yeah, they leave the gate." She leaves the gate open, the dog gets out. And I said, "Okay." So I got the phone number off the dog tags. I left a voicemail. "Your dog is at the neighbor's house. Here's my name. Here's my number. Call me if you need any information. I can tell you where I found it." Never got a thank you. That's all I wanted was a thank you. Never got a thank you.
Never got the thank
Didn't
you.
Didn't want. I if they were paying $30,000, I would have taken it. But
yep.
a thank you would have sufficed. I never got a thank you.
Moving to another dog.
Sure.
We hear from Snoop Dogg this
right.
week on Bullock Bites
good.
Talking about the women's national team winning the World Cup and talking about the pay, talking about the money.
Okay.
Wait, one sec.
Okay.
One sec.
Food for there thought. We go. Shout out to the USA women's soccer team for their fourth World Cup. But what I want to talk about is they only get $90,000 per player. But the men, if they win it, they get $500,000 per player. The sorry-ass men from the U.S. soccer team ain't ever won. Ain't going to ever win. Can't even get out the first round. Man, pay them ladies, man. Pay them girls what they worth. The women should be getting $500,000. Per athlete, Snoop Dogg says so. Yeah, I'm rocking with that. Them girls done won four World Cups. And $90,000? Man, please. Pay them $500,000 per player. Snoop Dogg says so.
I love it. I'm rocking with that. I'm Snoop Dogg. I can do what I want, which he can. He can do whatever. Snoop Dogg, you can do whatever you want. I love you, man. You are, like, the 90s culture wouldn't be the same without you. Like,
no.
and all through up, just all through early, he's been such a. I remember when he has like his own football league. I think
yep.
in Oakland
mm-hmm.
where he
his son played in that league.
Mm-hmm. And Cordell Broaddus, his son, who he I think he paid to go to UCLA and play football. But he didn't really want to play.
He quit after, like, right when he got
they
on campus.
They had that whole ESPN,
right?
They had that old ESPN, like, series that followed him because he played at Bishop Gorman.
Right.
Which is a very, you know, well-known, like, prep football high school.
Maybe Snoop Dogg should get on the board of directors of U.S. Soccer. Tell him straight up what it's about.
Maybe he should. I think he should.
Yeah. I'm all for it. Snoop Dogg's made $1 billion in the music industry. He's a smart man.
He knows what he's doing.
Yes.
He knows what he is doing.
Yep.
All right. So I don't know if you heard, but Gronkowski has been working out with Tom Brady again.
So at UCLA, right?
I think so. It was on the West Coast. But here's what Jay Glazer has to say. Very respected. Jay Glazer breaks a lot of news.
I love Jay Glazer.
So here's what he had to say about that whole situation.
Right now? No. Retired life is fantastic. You kidding me? He's being Gronk. Toward the end of the year, we're in it. Could he possibly come out of retirement for a last, you know, little playoff push? Why not? Absolutely. Why wouldn't he? But again, his body's been beat up. It's how he feels. I don't know how he feels. Gronk could retire for 10 years and come back and still dominate. He is ridiculous. He is, people are like, there's no debate if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is such a mismatch. It's not even close. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
California love playing in the background there.
Yes, love it.
Jay Glazer thinks that Gronkowski could retire for 10 years and come back and still be a factor. I don't know about that one, but Gronkowski is a very dynamic player, even though he can't really run anymore, but he still proved to be able to do that against Eric Berry in the playoffs last year. So, you think Gronkowski is coming back, Brad?
You know what? If they got two games left to go and they are thinking about a Super Bowl run, I could easily see Gronkowski coming back. Easy. I was just thinking Antonio Gates of the Chargers, after the 2017 season, they didn't re-sign him. They were done. And then in September, they were like, we kind of need another tight end, I think.
Yeah.
And Antonio Gates came back, and he stomped all over the Chiefs, which he always does. He's done his entire career. I could see Gronk coming back, and I'd be down for it.
Let's see it.
Like, let's see. Maybe one or two regular season games and then a playoff run.
That's all he needs.
As long as they don't beat the Chiefs.
No, I'm all for Patriots not winning anything. Maybe just don't go to the playoffs, but we know that's not happening. We hear a little snippet from Big Three, Ice Cube.
Right.
Coming to Kansas City, get your tickets.
Right.
It's going to be fun. It's at the Sprint Center. See some of my former Jayhawks, as we've been promoting at the station. But Lamar Odom, he was on a team with Gilbert Arenas and one other player I can't remember, but he is now not on the team anymore. And here's what Ice Cube had to say about that whole situation.
Well, you know, as a league, we want players that are actually playing. So if you ain't playing or you can't play or you have any health issues.
Can you talk specifically with him? Anything that you can say?
Nah.
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 I love it. Yeah, so if you can't play, you're not ready for 3-on-3 half-court basketball, don't come to the Big Three. Because it's only half-court. Remember, you're only playing a half-court setting. It's not even full court. So if you weren't even ready for that...
Right.
What?
They said he wasn't prepared. They cut Lamar Odom, they cut Baron Davis, Jermaine O'Neal, and Bonzi Wells. Cut all those guys. Hey, Ice Cube's not messing around.
He ain't messing around.
Well, the thing is, it's a retirement league, and it's supposed to be entertaining. But if you at least don't put forth a minimal amount of effort, why should Ice Cube be wasting his money and the investors be wasting their money on you? Gone. Yeah, gotta go.
No. Absolutely.
As Rex Hudler says, you got to go.
Yeah, I agree completely. So.
By the way, I'm not laying out cash to watch Lamar Odom drag his ass around the court.
You're not? Are you kidding me, Brad?
Gosh,
you're not
no.
ready for that?
Nope.
You aren't ready for that.
That's a no.
So, we move back. We go to the NFL, as we were talking earlier about Gronk. But a former Patriot as well, Mike Vrabel, has been in the news.
Yeah.
Because of some things he had to say about...
Yes, I know.
You probably know. So this was from the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. He was on and talking about what he would do to get a Super Bowl as a head coach.
Matt Neely. Yeah, he's shaking his head. Matt Neely said he would cut off his
for a Super Bowl.
For a Uno Super Bowl. And I said, and I have no problem saying, no, I wouldn't do that.
Would you cut off for a Super Bowl?
Oh. Been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you?
If you came home
holding a bag of ice, and Jen was like, "Oh, honey, what'd you do?"
She'd be like, "I thought you already got fixed.
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
I had to cut my off, honey. We're gonna win a Super Bowl." She'd be like, "Eh, all right." Would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, "Do you want me to do it? Do you want to do it now?
Do you want to do it now?"
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
She's like warming up a knife in the fire, like getting ready to go.
Is that like Reek from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, that's some Reek style. But Vrabel, even though he already has Super Bowl rings, would get rid of the family goods to win a Super Bowl as a coach.
He was on with Soren Petro this past week from the American Century Championships, and I don't think that topic came up.
I can't
up.
Believe that. We'll probably have to ask Soren when he comes in.
I don't think.
We're going to have to ask him why he didn't bring that up, not Vrabel.
Here's the thing, and Vrabel was funny with Soren. When he was a player, he was kind of surly. As Soren pointed out, he was a red ass when he was a player. And he said, look, when I was with the Chiefs, I was 35. I came home one day, and my wife said, maybe you should think about quitting because you're not 28 anymore. And he told her, you're not either, but I'm not – you don't look the same either, but I'm not leaving you.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Vrabel is a funny guy.
Vrabel unplugged.
Yeah, Vrabel unplugged.
Or on something.
We're going to finish off today. Okay. We've had some heat so far, Brad, if you've not noticed. Yeah. Your favorite, I feel like we should start being, this would be like a Charles Barkley, like how we had for a while, but Mike Francesa.
Okay.
Back.
Oh, gosh.
Back, baby. Oh. Back. And he had Brody Van Wagenen on his show, GM of the Mets.
Right. We talked about him last week because I didn't know who the GM of the Mets was. I never heard of Brody Van Wagenen.
And remember, you know, Francesa is a Yankees guy.
Yes.
But this is a part of his conversation with Brody Van Wagenen.
You know, we've made real strides this year that I think are going to benefit us, not just next year or tomorrow, but for years down the road, because we've got an entire organization that's committed to developing more talent and creating more of a sustainable approach for us. And
listen, that's going to fall on deaf ears right now. Your fan base doesn't trust you because you promised them a winner this year and you've been terrible. So they don't trust you right now. They're going to look at your actions. That's what's going to show them, is that if you guys go out there and do better, then they might believe again. But right now, they don't trust you because they don't believe in you right now because they think that you have done a lousy job. And you have done a lousy job for the first half. But you know what? It's only half a season, so let's see where it goes from here. But right now, they're not going to believe what you say. You know that. I mean, they're just not, because you thought you were going to have a winning team, and right now you're the second worst team in the league. I mean, so they were expecting a lot better this year.
Yeah, I think they were, and so were we. And we feel their pain, and we're not going to quit on them.
Thanks very much for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate
all right, Brody Van Wagenen, back after this.
I love Francesa.
Francesa just lighting him up, which I think is hilarious and funny.
I like the part where he said,
lousy.
You promised the fans you're going to be competitive this year. You had a lousy first half. You're the second worst team in baseball. But, you know, there's a second half to go, so something may happen. Right now, you're terrible.
I hope if there's any Royals, Chiefs, anybody listening to that clip, I think they should be, like, thankful because think of that. Like, you know, like, Mike Francesa, that is a GM. That's like if Dave Mueller was talking to Mike Francesa, then Mike Francesa just laying into him.
Well, I would just say this to the Royals, the Chiefs, Sporting KC. I think all are treated very fairly here in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And when you get upset, you could be coaching or working in New York and dealing with that.
Yes. Yes.
So dial it back a little bit.
Yeah. So that was that. We finish it off with some good old Mike Francesa back after this. That was pretty good. I thought that was pretty funny. So,
I guess he has a very highly rated show. It's second. Yeah, I think he's behind.
I think he is the number one rated show.
It goes back and forth between he and Michael K.
Maybe.
K. I think Michael.
I think.
K
I think. I was just reading something from Jason Barron. I think he in the last quarter or whatever. edged out Michael Kay, and he was at the
top.
Because
they added in the streaming numbers, which Michael Kay doesn't get.
Yeah.
I would guess if you're in New York or you listen online or whatever, you listen to Francesa purely for the nonsense and the takes.
But yeah, absolutely.
As far as being a quality, knowledgeable guy, no. But whatever, he makes $1 billion, so good for him.
Yeah. So that does it here for this
Bullock
edition
Bites.
Of Bullock Bites. Have some fun.
That's a wrap. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number two, and then we'll head into hour number three, where Seren Petro will be our guest. Do we know if he's in studio or on the phone?
He said he's coming in the studio,
okay.
So hopefully Seren, he makes it in. So.
I'm going to have a Final Four directed at you this time. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This track a few times on the weekend shows. I love this song. Just terrific. Final minute or two here of hour number two here on Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig is running the show. A good start to the show so far. Had Eric Horn on from the Oklahoman. He covers the Oklahoma City Thunder and the NBA. Talked about getting phone calls and text messages at midnight, 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning, about big trades and acquisitions, and that was good stuff. Found out a little bit about his university as well down in Georgia, which was very interesting. Storming Petrels. Oglethorpe University.
And fun stuff.
Division III, never heard of it. So good stuff with Eric Horn. We had Dennis Dodd on in this hour from CBSSports.com talking college football. Coaches on the hot seat, and student-athletes being able to use their name, image, and likeness to make a little extra money. Good stuff with Dennis. Coming up next at 11 o'clock, going to be interesting. For the first time as a guest, he's been here for 15, 20 years as the host of the program from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. He's moving to drive time, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Seren Petro, along with his team, Curtis Seabolt and Jed Marshall. So I will be asking the questions. He'll turn them around on me. He'll take over the show. I know that's...
But you got to ask about Mike Vrabel.
I will ask about Mike Vrabel. And I'm going to give him my Final Four that he'll have to answer. So that's coming up next. Seren Petro, a guest on Sports Sunday. Take a quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bollig running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.